Amen. Everything the pastor said, I'm telling you, I agree with it. I was just sitting here thinking, Brother Ronnie was preaching this morning about how this thing all started. And I could have thrown a monkey wrench in this whole thing that we're enjoying right now. That first time, brother. Because I had a meeting with Brother John Asquith in Black Creek Baptist Church. And then, after we all had everything all established, Brother Asquith calls me and says, I got a young evangelist who's struggling. He said, would you mind splitting time with him? And he's wanting to bring some people. And you know what? Ask him. He's an evangelist. Evangelists need love offerings, don't they?
Amen.
Amen. And I've seen evangelists go, oh, that's my meeting. I just don't do that. Blah, blah. I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I did that. Man, I met one of my dearest friends in the world right there.
Amen.
And right there. And right there. And right there. And I got the chance to hear Brother Ronnie preach this morning. Man, if that didn't touch your heart,
yeah.
You ain't got one.
Yeah.
Man, poured his heart out to you. I take it, man. You, I don't care if he's got 48 teeth in his mouth. It don't bother me. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Brother Ronnie, just keep doing it for Jesus, man.
Right.
Give him what you got. Amen. Give him what you got. You got you, man. You can do that.
Yeah.
Come on, brother.
Amen. I look at it this way. It ain't my meeting. It's God's. Even if I did have it scheduled in my name, it's not my name that's on the line. I can screw it up for God, man. Listen, if there's a mess up, you're looking at him. God picked me out of the mess and straightened me out and put me back together. Amen. And made a life out of me and gave me a life. I didn't know what life was till I got saved. Man, I'm living now. Somebody said this morning, is that your camper out there? Well, you can call it that, but it's not my camper. It's my home. I live in it. Amen. I'm not camping. I'm living. Amen. And I'm having the time of my life. Well, take your Bible, go to Judges 16. I had three messages that would have fit anywhere in. We could have plugged in together and he could have preached half and I preached the other half. Amen. That's how I know I'm on the right track, Brother Ronnie. Amen. So guess what? You must have been on the right track too, huh? We must have been on the same track going the same way.
God's track, Brother
Ray. Amen, brother. Judges chapter 16, look at verse 16. Get my eyes cleared up. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, that there hath not come a razor upon mine head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he had showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees and called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. Man, he must have been in a deep sleep that he didn't feel a razor cutting off 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Father, thank you for the privilege it's been all these years to be in this place. But here we are again, Lord, with a new year and another time. And Lord, it's a time where we stand, God, more in need of you than we ever did. God, in these days, would you help us? Father, would you take us? Would you use us? God, the best I know how, I give you this vessel. And I plead with you to fill it to overflowing and let that overflow speak to each heart, meet the need of each heart. God, you know the heart better than anyone else. So Lord, would you do that which you wish to do? And would you help folks to give in to what you wish to do? And Lord, to resign their will to do your will. And Lord, this week, God, may somebody be touched in a real way. God made many folks get a touch from heaven that'll never, ever, ever go away. Lord, there's some that need saving. There's some that need sanctifying. There's some that need separating. God, there's all kinds of needs in this room. And Lord God, this preacher included, God, would you do it for us this week? God, we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you for it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I got another message, and I could preach out of just what I just read for about 4 hours. There's plenty there. But I got another message I've preached to young people a lot, and it's called Things Samson Learned Too Late. That's not what I'm going to preach today. I'm going to take one of those things and just kind of touch on it a little bit. And one of those is it's the power of God, being filled with the Spirit of God. It's not there so you can play with it. It's not there so you can make yourself look good with it. Amen. Preacher's already said, people that would just be willing to be in the background, not be noticed, not get any honor, not get any dedication, not get any, a glorification. Just be back there and serve with a smile on their face. Amen. And boy, I'm telling you, that's the greatest place anybody can be. That's the place where you'll see God do things in people's lives, and all you can do is stand back and watch. Amen. And what a blessing it is to watch God. And so people take that thing, and boy, they think being filled with the Holy Ghost. When I saw men like Jack Wood, when I saw men like Don Green, when I saw some of those men, when I saw men like Earl Hughes, amen, I wanted what they had. As a young preacher, I said, God, make me like that. And I said, God, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to be like him. Amen. Why? Because I saw something. Amen. That help me in them. And I want to be able to do that for people. And I'll tell you what, man. Little by little, I started seeing it. One thing I've noticed, I've known some men my age who started out with me. There's going to be one here this week. Brother Cliff Parks. Amen. And we started out together. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Cliff's a good one. But there's some others that we know, both of us. Amen. That aren't here anymore because they got to thinking that the glory was theirs. They got to thinking, amen, that the power of God was for their show and for what they did. Man, their ministry grew and grew, and you better be careful. That thing gets so big, it'll be bigger than you, amen, and you won't be able to handle it. That's the reason most fundamentalists don't like a Holy Ghost-filled meeting, because they can't run it. Amen. We had some, where are them fellas from? Burma or wherever they were that one year, those national fellas, and they're running around with Brother DeWitt. And that one came up to me and he said, preacher, I don't know how you do it here, but he said, I've never seen anything like this. He said, I've been in the biggest meetings in the country and I've never seen a place where God has as much rule and reign and liberty as he does here.
Glory.
Here we are in the midst of it. Don't take it for granted.
That's right.
Come on, bro. God gets in this thing. And that's what we're looking for this week.
Amen, brother.
I'll give you a heads up already. Amen. About a week ago, God told me who's going to preach first. Amen. I got here and the pastor was talking with me. He said, by the way, he said, Brother Tim says he's got the message. He needs to go first. I said, guess what? God's already told me. He's going first. Amen. I'm not trying to lift him up. He knows that. I'm just trying to tell you, God's already arranging things. God's already setting things up. And all the work that's going on behind the scenes that nobody else sees, these preachers come in. I come in. And we didn't see it. We don't have to see it. We come looking for God and we find God. And that's good enough. Amen. He said it. Jesus Christ is all I need. Amen. I'll take God any day over a program. Amen. That Holy Ghost came to teach us, according to John 14:26. Came to testify, not of himself, according to John 15:26. And he came to take to task a bunch of people, the world. For what? What do you mean? He came to reprove them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He's got a job. It's not to lift up himself. It's not to lift up man. Hey, listen, if the Holy Ghost ain't supposed to lift up himself, then why are men lifting him up? He don't want it. And you find a spirit-filled man. You ever talk to Brother Earl Hughes at length anywhere? I mean, one of the most spirit-filled guys I knew. Amen. And you know what he'd do? He'd always shy away, man. You start talking about he'd shy. He wouldn't. He'd just Amen. Men like that, folks like that, they don't like to be talked about. They don't like to be exalted because they know it's not them. Amen. The Holy Ghost didn't come here, amen, so we could feel good. He didn't come here to give us the warm fuzzies. He came here to reprove us of our sin. Amen. And of righteousness and of judgment. Amen. One of the things that's hard for me to restrain myself from is somebody who thinks they're spiritual. Amen. You know what you are? I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Don Green used to call it super spiritual. I've heard it called hyper spiritual. They're hyper all right. But you know what you are? If you think you are, if you think you're spiritual, you know what you are? Your faith. Nobody's as spiritual as you are. Amen. Well, it got quiet. I'm telling you. Some of you looking at me like, all right, you already shut me off. That's all right. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody is as spiritual as you think you are. I know how spiritual I am. And I know what goes through my mind. Every day, I've got to get the thoughts out. I've got to clean the thoughts up. I've got to get them under the blood. I've got to get the thing straightened out. Oh, I don't have to do that. Oh, come on.
Come on, that's right. Exactly.
You got the same flesh I do.
That's right.
You know what happens? Those who never got dirty like we did, some of us, you know what their problem is? It's not what folks can see that counts. It's what's in here. And therein lies the problem in some things that need to be dealt with. I mean, I'm dealing with one right now, man. He's so clean, man, a houndstooth is. It would be dirty compared to him. I mean, just clean, clean. Never got into nothing. Well, except maybe a little lie now and then, you know. And maybe a little pride now and then. Wait a minute now, pride. I think somebody else had that problem. Amen. Read the book of Isaiah. You'll see who it was. Amen. And then Jesus told the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, ye will do. Well, he was a king of pride. I'm telling you something, pride bothers every one of us. Hello. Amen. We all got it somewhere. And some folks, man, they get so proud of their clean. Amen. They can't touch nothing that's even got a speck on it. I've seen it, man. I've dealt with it. You know, you got somebody that's real close to you. Amen. And he's made a mess and you can't even go help him because, whoa, he's filthy. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad Jesus left the 99?
Yeah. Yeah.
To go after one.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Yeah. And you're the one.
Yeah.
And I'm the one.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Then who are we to not follow in his footsteps and go after the one? I don't care who the one is. I don't care if it's my own son. I don't care if it's my daughter. Amen. I don't care. Amen. Who it is. If it's my neighbor, I'll take time to do it. Amen. I'm starting to see just a crack in a few preachers around the country in something that's been happening here all along. And that is that they take a little time to work with people. I'm not talking about going physically work. I'm talking about sit there and labor over them. I mean, pray with them. I mean, till Christ be formed in them. Heard it out of his mouth. After I heard out of my Bible. And I was looking and looking and looking and trying to do that and doing that. You can get a few that way. Oh, but I don't get all these notches on my gun belt. I don't have anybody out there that I 1, 2, 3 and they came a running after me. I'll tell you what. I was just telling Brother Dale, I'm going to admit Brother Craig Cobb's coming. I love him to death. I'm going to miss his meeting the week he has it because I'm going to be with one of my preacher boys. He's been after me for years. And I said, well, I got to go. And I got two that way this year. I got to go. I'm having to cut meetings to go to their place. Why? Because they're doing something for God and I want to be there to encourage him.
Amen.
They look to me for advice. They look to me for training. They look to me for different things. And I'm going to be there, amen, to give them that shot in the arm.
Come on.
even if it's a cattle prod, man, but I'll shot them in the arm. Amen. I'll wake them up somehow. Or give them the grace, give them the goodness, give them the things they need so they can keep going for God. Whatever it is they need, amen. Sometimes you do have to get kind of proddy with them. But these guys ain't that way. They're good men. And I'm here to help them. I hate it when folks think they're spiritual. And they're not. They're fake. And oh, they can give you scripture. But Tim, they know the Bible. Wait a minute, I know somebody else that knows the Bible. Better than anybody in this room. And I'm not talking about the offer either. Amen. Hey, listen, man, I did all the memorization plans. I did them. I tried them. You know what I remember from all those memorization plans? Holy Bible. And I'm not trying to be smart. But you know where my memorization comes from? It comes from time spent with that book. In that book. Reading that book. Rereading that book. Rereading that book. Rereading that book. Rereading that book for 41 years. Rereading that book. And I'll be dealing with somebody, John, and it'll be like this. I'll be talking, all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes a verse, and I'm thinking, I never memorized that. But it's in there. Why? Because it went in there, it went in here. Amen. It came out there. Amen. Old Ralph Seeley, up way up in Quispam Sis, Canada, he used to say this. He said, the best plan for memorization is saturation. Saturate yourself with that book. Well, I read my 10 pages. Did you saturate yourself? Amen. You know, sometimes I don't get quite as far as I'd like to. Amen. Why? Because I'll run into something. It's like, and the Lord says, back up and stay right there. You hit a stump. Now read that. And I'll read it. And it'll be a passage of scripture, so many, whatever, however big it is. And next day I'll get my Bible out and I'll pull it out. And the Lord says, now read that. And that goes on. I got one right now. I've been working in the book of Lamentations for a week. And God won't let me out of it. Read that. Read that. Read that. Read that. Amen. And he says, okay, go on. I'll go on. But the book of Lamentations every day for a week, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll learn something. Amen. You'll learn something about the society you're in today. Amen. You learn what God cares about it, what he thinks about it. Amen. But here's Samson, man. He's going to go out just like he did before, thinking the power of God's there. He read the verse this morning about that thing about a mighty man. Amen. Where his power comes from, it's not in the mighty man. Samson had no power but of God. And hey, you and I have no power but of God. You couldn't breathe if it wasn't for God. The heart in you wouldn't pump blood if it wasn't for God. Everything we have, everything we are, everything we hope to be is out of God's hand. It's in his hand to do it, and it comes out of his hand. You know, one thing I've noticed about super spiritual people, they always have to justify themselves. I learned something from the old timers a long time ago, Brother Tim. If what you're doing is right, you ain't got to justify it to nobody. You just got to do it. Man, when I didn't go back to New Guinea, the whole country sent stories all over the place. Preachers dropped me like a hot potato. I didn't blame them. I didn't know what God was doing, man. I'm out in the middle of the Midwest. I'm out there fasting and praying and crying before God, saying, God, I don't get this. Lord, what is this? I don't understand. And every day. And I said, God, if this is you, I need to see it in this book. Show me the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God, I want to come out of this thing delighting. Amen. Not delighting in me, but delighting in you. Because your way is the right way. Amen. And little by little, man, every day God would give me a verse from a different place in Scripture. And just, I mean. Okay, I finally got to the last one. And it was in Proverbs. I'll turn there because my brain is in 4 gears ahead of where I'm at. Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 8. Or no, it's Proverbs 8 and verse 8. I'm sorry. Verse 7, he said this. I said, Lord, Everything you've shown me every day, God, I'm not trying to be rebellious. I got to know, because this is my livelihood. This is my life. And God, if I change it, nobody's going to understand. I'll be the preacher, stand out in the middle of nowhere preaching to myself. God, what am I doing here? I got to know it's you. He gave me this: for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction. The Lord spoke to my heart. He said, everything I've said to you is as plain as the nose on your face. Now you do what I told you to do.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I know folks, man, they'll run to, you know, and they'll get bitter. Man, he'll be so bitter. You ever grab a green persimmon and bite into it? Huh? You ever grab a nasty green apple and bite into it? Huh? They're so bitter. They did this. You look at them, you know they're bitter. Oh, no, I'm not bitter. No, I'm not bitter. What's the problem then? Put the persimmons away. Get a better look on your face. Your countenance be raised you. Amen. Amen. The devil knows how to use scripture. Ain't he the one that said, yea, hath God said? Man, he can quote it better than you can. Oh, but I'm not bitter because this is it. And then he'll go back to the thing he grew. And he's using all them words that nobody uses a lot from the King James Bible, you know. So I gave him a couple that nobody uses a lot. You like it when I say that? Then why are you saying that in the context you're saying that? Shut up! You're just trying to justify yourself and your own bitterness using the Word of God to do it. You're no different than the devil himself. Judges 16, verse 17. Again, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be like any man. And Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. Skip down a little bit, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. You know what happens? You get so super spiritual, you think you've got it all figured out, it's all straight. I'll tell you what will happen. You'll wind up giving your heart to the wrong person. Uh-oh. And then you'll wonder, how did I get here?
Yeah.
A bunch of divorces could be, not done, you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Negated if people just give their hearts to the right person. God, number one. Amen. And then the right person, the human part of it, number two. But the first one is God. You do the thing without God, it's bound to blow up in your face.
Yeah.
You can't help but blow up in your face. Oh, but all these other people did it. Yeah, but you ain't them. You've already sat in a Bible-believing church long enough, you know too much.
Yeah.
You know better.
Yeah.
Amen. Proverbs 23:26 says this, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Why? For a whore is a deep ditch, a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey and increaseth the transgressors among men. That's exactly what Delilah was doing. She was lying in wait with him laying on her lap, waiting for him to give her his heart. And he did it. Look, I'm like Samson, but look at my hair. All seven locks. And he goes out, and what happens? You mean to tell me going out to the... There he is sleeping on her lap. He can't feel the razor? He ought to know something's up before he even starts out the door. He goes out the door, and there he is, and there's no hair. There had to be. I've heard tell that there's 6 or 7 pounds of hair on some fellas' heads nowadays. My mother never had that much hair. I mean, there he is. He had to know when he went out the door, God was gone. If he'd have just stopped. Why? He thought about all about him. Mm-hmm. See, this thing about getting the power from God. Ah.
Come on, brother.
Yep. He didn't give. Why? Gave his heart to the wrong person. You know, one of the signs of this time, you read Matthew 24, 25 in there, a couple other places. One of the signs of this time we're living in is deception. I'd rather know what's going on than be deceived any day of my life. I'll do without, go without. Why? Just to figure out why things are like they are. If something ain't right. Why? I don't want to mess up, man. After 41 years, you know how easy it'd be for me to mess up? Same flesh, man. But Dr. Bill Gray says this. Just like you, man. Just like you. Luke 21, 8. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed that you be... Here's Samson, man. He is so deceived. Number one, he fell asleep. She lulled him to sleep. The hyper, super spiritual giant, amen, that had all the answers, that could rip down anything and just walk away laughing. And he couldn't figure out that somebody had just cut his hair. Had no idea. He was clueless. Went right out just as he had at other times. And it was, uh-oh. I mean, imagine, there he stands with both eyes being popped out, you know. You know what happens? You get so spiritual, you lose the vision to see what God is doing around you and in you. But the Philistines took him, verse 21, and put out his eyes. And brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. How'd that happen? She lulled him to sleep. Well, I'm not asleep. Very well could be spiritually. Especially if you think a little more of your spirituality than it really is. Amen. She made him sleep on her knees. Called for a man. I mean, there she is, man. His head right there. Hey, come here. Called for a man. You think so? Oh. Called for a man. She called out. So he could hear across the room or across the way or send a runner or something. But she called for some, and he's laying right there sleeping the whole time. Not only is she setting him up, she's getting ready to wipe him out. You fellas, you see that gal. Oh, I love her. Oh, she's beautiful. That ain't love. Right there's love. Almost 50 years. She's more beautiful today than she was 50 years ago. 52 years ago when I first met her. Now, we've been through it together. Amen. We went to a church. We just come out. I got out of the military. Went to a church down in South Central Pennsylvania there. The pastor got up and he announced the song number. And as everybody's turning to the number, he says, they sang this at Cliff and Linda's wedding. Title of the song was The Fight Is On. I'm telling you, without God, you ain't going to make it. You better make sure she's the one that God wants you to have. Young man, young woman, you better make it sure. Give your heart to the right person, but you do that by first giving it to God. Why? She lulled him to sleep. She set him up. And then he had to let the Philistines play with him and make sport of him. Amen. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon. Now they're even offering sacrifices to a false god in Samson's presence. And he said this, They rejoiced, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. You know how he got that far? Because the Lord left, and he didn't know it. Your relationship to God is the most important thing you've got in this life.
Amen.
You get that messed up, you'll mess everything else up. You won't have a good relationship with your wife or your husband. You won't have a good relationship with that preacher sitting back there. You won't have a good relationship with that dear preacher sitting right there. Because you'll be all messed up thinking, "You got it. I got this." No, you don't. The Lord left. And verse 20 tells us that he didn't even know it. If he left right now, "Oh, he can't leave me, I'm saved." He'll sure take his presence and go elsewhere. He sealed your soul. I understand that. I understand your soul is already seated in heaven, part of it. Amen. I got that. But I'm going to tell you something. He'll sure take his presence and walk out the door. We were sitting in a tent meeting one time. Up at Dr. Don Green's. Summertime. The evangelist was up there preaching. And Dr. Green's sitting there on the platform. And it's just like, I mean, it wasn't, you couldn't see it. But something went by us and out the tent. I looked at my wife and said, "Did you see that?" There was like a breeze almost just right down that aisle. She said, "Yes." And then the preacher got up and said, "Did you see that? The Lord just left somebody in here." And I mean, boy, he went after us. The Lord. He'll take his presents. He'll take his toys and go somewhere else. As they used to say. Why? You won't do right. You think you got the answer. You think it's you. It's about your spirituality. You think the power of God, you can do it alone. You can't do nothing without God. Lastly, somebody just said amen. Lastly, he lost his life to die with the Philistines. And I know he's in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. I know. But how many of you would raise your hand and say, "That's the kind of testimony I'd want in the Hall of Faith"? I tell you what, I'd much rather have one like Dr. Don Green, who's up there now after serving God for about 85 years. Amen. I'd rather have one like that old man sitting right there, man, and be able to see what's behind him. You can see his fruit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's visible. I'd rather have something like that. I sure don't want to be known as the man that brought the house down.
Yeah.
You know, there is that lad. He's asking that lad, "You know, suffer me that I may feel the pillar. Put my hands on the pillars, you know. And I'm going to lean on them." Full house, and he calls unto the Lord one last time. Can you imagine what that was going through his heart? I know he's going to kill all them Philistines. I understand that. But that's the last time he ever spoke to God. And he's gone. I mean, knowing that's your last time? I can't. I'm sorry, but I can't get that one. I like it when I see Father and I can sense His touch. I can sense His presence and I know He's listening. I like that. I don't want Him mad at me. Hey, listen, I'm easy enough to get mad at. I don't need no help. Samson got to playing around with the Philistines to the point that he lost the presence and power of God in his life. And there came a day he thought he could just go out and do always like he'd always done. I know preachers that have fallen. And I've sat across the table from them in a restaurant weeping. I said, "Preacher, do you know what it's like
No, you don't. But he said there's nothing like getting up every morning, and especially on Sunday morning, and having a message from God and no place to preach it. No place to preach it because of your own foolishness. There's Samson in his pride. He couldn't even see that it was the power of God that made him what he was, and that without that power, he was nothing. Man, don't let pride, don't let bitterness, amen. Listen, you're not too spiritual, amen, for bitterness. You're not exempt. You're not too spiritual for pride. You're not exempt. Nobody is exempt. Man, give the glory to God. This week, we're trusting God to show up in a real way and move among us and touch hearts and change lives. And we don't have any idea who or what or where or when or why. But all we long for is to watch Him do it again.
Amen.
He's done it time and time and time again. Oh, God, would You do it again? Oh, God, would You show up one more time in reality and just reach down in somebody's soul and rip out all the ungodliness and wash them in the blood and get them cleaned up and get them standing again in their right mind and doing something to glorify You. That's what we want, Lord. If we're just going to have a meeting, shut her down. But if You're going to meet with us, come on, Lord, we invite You. Help folks to see their own heart and their own problem and their own need for You, Lord, so they can get it all squared up and get it straight before the thing kicks off and have a good time all week long. And walk and talk and fellowship with You and walk and talk with the saints of God and just enjoy the fellowship of God together. God, forgive us for being so stinking proud, thinking we are somebody. The dangers of being super spiritual. Father, best I know how I did what You told me to do. Lord, would You take it? Would You mete it out to each heart? God, You said You dealt to every man the measure of faith. Would You give them the faith to receive it? Would You give them the grace to do something with it? Lord, would You, God, then turn this thing right into the greatest meeting we've ever had? Lord God, where You're glorified and honored and people get help, and God, they go away from here saying, oh my, I met with God and God did something for me. Help, Lord, I pray. And I thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen.